This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. That's right. We are live here at the Sheraton New Orleans for the Metropolitan Crime Commission Excellence in Law Enforcement Annual Awards Luncheon. And we've had an opportunity to talk with some of the leaders about some of the 2024 award recipients, the DA's office in New Orleans, NOPD, as well as some other organizations. And there's one that's going to be recognized today. That's referred to as Operation Clean House Task Force. There are probably 14 or 15 participating agencies in that endeavor. And so we're going to be talking to the governor of the state of Louisiana here in just a few minutes. We understand he's in the building, making his way up here. And after that, we'll talk to Colin Sims, district attorney for St. Tammany and Washington parishes, as well as Lionel Myrtle. I'm looking forward to that. I've not had an opportunity to meet the SAC. He is the special agent in charge of the New Orleans field office of the FBI. And then we'll go live to the awards luncheon, and awards will be given out, and we'll be able to catch the governor's address live, and probably the address by Sheriff Joe Lapinto as well. This event ends right at around 1:30. We go off air at 1, so we'll be able to catch a couple of the addresses to the folks that are here, that are a number about 750, the largest that they've had. So they're very excited about that. In fact, 40% more attendees today than last year's event. Might have something to do with the governor being here for certain, but that'll be good. And so what we'll do is we'll go to a break right now so that when the governor arrives, we can jump right into our interview with Governor Jeff Landry.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, with us. Welcome back, folks. We are here at the Metropolitan Crime Commission Excellence in Law Enforcement Awards Luncheon at the Sheraton New Orleans, and we're honoring the men and women who make Metro New Orleans safe. And our guest right now is the governor of the state of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, and he's one of those individuals that has embarked upon a number of initiatives to make New Orleans safe, and we're very happy about that. Governor, welcome to the show.
Well, glad to be back. Now in one-on-one.
Yeah,
in
absolutely. First time in person.
Yeah.
I broadcast remote, so no one wants to go to the studio anymore. You know how it is. It's so much easier for everyone involved. Thank you for joining us today. Big day, recognition of law enforcement efforts in the city of New Orleans. Your initiative, Troop NOLA, I've had a number of guests on this morning, everyone talking about the successes there. Very excited and can't wait for the full complement to come to fruition. And we know that everyone's working hard to do that so before the Super Bowl, but huge results already.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. And, you know, I'll tell you something else. The response from citizens throughout the city has been remarkable. And I think that, coupled with the things that we've done, has made it a very conducive environment to be safer. And, you know, some of the things that we're doing, and these are things that we talked about way back when I first started as Attorney General, is that we want the troop not to just concentrate on the CBD, but concentrate on Orleans Parish as a whole, an entire city of New Orleans. That way, everyone else understands that we care about them as much as anyone else. And I think that that's been a big part of our success, really do.
And I think part of the receptiveness of both the chief and the DA and the deal that you and the AG were able to strike, I don't know that many people ever thought that was ever going to come to fruition.
Me neither.
I didn't either. I mean, I didn't even think about it as a concept. So, and the moment it was announced, I said, well, that's a difference maker. I mean, yeah. That kind of connects all the dots.
It does. It does. And I tell you, of course, one of the things that I'm really excited about is, especially after the results of Tuesday, is that, you know, when we get a new U.S. attorney seated here, you know, one of the things that I saw very effectively done as the attorney general last time Donald Trump was the president, and David Joseph, who's now a federal judge, was the U.S. attorney, he commissioned some of the attorney general's prosecutors. We let them hand select them up in the Western District, and we went up to Monroe, and it made a huge deal. You know.
Yeah.
When the criminals out there know that they got some federal time, I mean, the conduct starts to change.
Well, you take the avenue that makes the most sense for the fact, circumstances, and how the federal law as opposed to state law applies, and what makes the case zing, right?
That's right. That's right. With the mandatory minimums on federal gun crimes, with the length of time, all of those things, I think. So you know, the success that we see today, we want to be permanent, not temporary. And so it's going to take continual efforts. We're going to continue to go back to the legislature. I think we're having a meeting today amongst all the stakeholders in New Orleans, talking more about Troop NOLA as the next fiscal session comes up and we have to budget. How do we improve the judiciary? How do we, you know, support the prosecutorial side? And so, again, we are committed to making this city safe.
I had a chance to talk to Colonel Robert Hodges earlier. He was talking about, you know, where they are on the timeline, laying it all out from a human capital perspective. That's a challenge for everybody across the country. But y'all seem to be well on your way.
We are, but we've got great support from the legislature on both sides of the aisle. That is heartwarming. Look, when you start to see the tangible results and people start to put a smile back on, I mean, look, I mean, the Taylor Swift concert I thought was a great prequel, kind of bringing us in. We want to put on a great Bayou Classic. We want to put on a great Sugar Bowl New Year's. And then the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah,
then the
exactly.
Big one. Yeah, you're going to be broadcasting in the Super Bowl?
I'm not a big enough boy, you know, for that. I'm not high enough on that ladder for sure. But it's a great event for the city. I mean, I really, what went on in Taylor Swift and all of the agencies coming together under a lot of different folks' leadership, and I think don't underestimate the value of the mind change here in the city. When you said that others in the city recognizing what y'all are doing and getting them on board. And when you get collectively all of these folks that are cheerleaders for you, it makes all the difference in the world.
It does. It does. You know, one of the sayings I'd always remembered seeing, and it was in a frame, said that your altitude is determined by your attitude, right? And mm-hmm. So I think that the attitude of citizens that is changing and saying, you know what, this city can and we deserve to be safe, and then we give them the tools necessary to do that. I mean, look, you did it for decades over in Jefferson Parish. It continues to be a great, safe parish as well. And so, you know, when you have citizens bought in and you're given the proper tools, it works.
Number of folks were a little reluctant at first, kind of, you know, what's he going to do? A lot of folks didn't really know you very well.
I think they were having a hard time understanding you.
Yeah, maybe that too. But that seems to have all dissipated from my view looking in.
Yeah, I think we look, change and newness is always difficult for people. And there were a number of people that came in that when we came in were extremely reluctant. But we worked extra hard to work with those people to show them a vision that brings New Orleans to safety so that the city can be great again. Because when the city becomes great again, the entire state becomes great again.
I was a little disappointed with some of the criticism right before the Taylor Swift concert of a group of your officers and stuff coming in with the homeless camps. And I made the observation, it's not like we didn't know the Taylor Swift concert was going to be here. I mean, we've been talking about it for a frickin' year. I mean, and we were going to provide the remediation 30 days after the Taylor Swift concert. I mean, it didn't seem like good planning, and I thought the criticism was misplaced.
Well, no, I did too. I think that the criticism is not only misplaced, but it's unfounded, especially when the city has known there have been tens of millions of dollars spent in the relocation and abatement effort of the homeless in the city. It's a problem that is widespread throughout the country, but we knew about it. We've got a time schedule. We were told that we had a commitment to fix it, and it wasn't being done. And so as we get to these benchmarks, look, I would expect them to be further down the road when we get towards the Bayou Classic. Because, again, like I said, we've got these benchmarks that we want to ultimately hit to the Super Bowl. And if you're not, hey, I know. If I was one of your deputies and I gave you a timeline and I didn't meet it.
Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the collaborative effort only makes sense if everybody's going to be open and honest. Right?
That's correct.
And if there's a timeline and you're busting your tail to get the assets and resources together to be able to meet that timeline and somebody else is dropping the ball, you know.
Well, and then I think you hit a key word, honesty. Hey, look, if they were having problems meeting that timeline, then they should be raising their hands up and saying, listen, we're behind. These are the reasons we're behind. Can you help us? But none of that was happening. It was just being, you know, basically, in my opinion, slow walk. And so we took action. And so now we took the action, and we'll see if they can get back on track.
Well, I like it because I think they recognize now
you
mean what you say and you say what you mean. Right?
That's right. Look, me and you both cut our teeth under folks, under sheriffs that did exactly that. Their word was their bond, their credit, and they meant what they said, and they did it for the right reasons in order to protect the public and to do the things that are necessary in order for the community to be safe and prosperous. You can't have the number of people coming in to the Taylor Swift concert and have that element being a problem.
Right.
When you have a solution, in other words, when there's a solution that takes us so that we don't have that issue, then you need to hit that benchmark. And if not, somebody has to step in and get it done.
So let's pivot real quick. You kind of taken a major part of your schedule and set it aside here on this tax reformation issue. They went into session yesterday, and they come out of session right before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you didn't have enough to do already.
I don't like to go on duck hunting.
Well, I was just about to say, what happened to the duck hunting plans? But nonetheless, your hopes, I know this is going to be, there's going to be a series of compromises.
I mean,
you're talking about one of the most difficult topics to talk about. If you had to choose a topic politically, taxes is one of the
topics. Dangerous, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you got to have flexibility, and you got to be willing to do that. Look, just before I got here, I went and testified between House Ways and Means, and I told the members, look, what we put in these packages of bills are not chiseled in stone. If you've got the ability to get us to the same place a different way, I'm all in. And I think that that's important. And look, do I like the timing? I would love to be able to. You probably going. Are you going duck hunting this weekend?
I hope
to.
No.
But I think here's the important part. We have this unique, the planets are kind of aligned right now, right? Because what's happening is that if we need to get the constitutional amendment on the budget, you know better than anyone else that constitutional amendment on the ballot helps free up both the locals and the legislature from things that have been tied up in Article 7 forever. And guess what? That happens in March. Then we have the answer, and then we go into a fiscal session, which means we can fix or improve anything that we do in this session that doesn't happen often.
Right.
That's the reason.
So the motivation, more so for the benefit of the listening audience, was aligning up to be in advance of the fiscal session, and then you have to get on a ballot as well for some of these measures, right?
That's correct. I'm going to use that. It's an alignment. That's exactly why, if you know, for the general public, they may think, well, why is the governor just doing this? No, it was very well thought out. When we looked at the time schedule, we said, if we don't go now, we'll lose that opportunity. And we don't want to lose any more opportunities in Louisiana.
Do you get a sense, and you're comfortable if you get you don't get everything you want?
Well, look, I don't have to get any I want as long as they're hitting the metric. As long as the tax file, as long as what we, as long as at the end of the session, number one, we have that constitutional amendment to put before the peoples. We have the permanent pay raise for teachers. We have the doubling of the standard deduction for seniors. We have all of those particular things. And the tax foundation says, hey, the work of the legislature takes us from 40th to 8th. Doesn't matter.
What the final picture looks like.
Doesn't matter. Nope.
Well, thank you so much for visiting with us today. I know you had a tight timeline. We really appreciate it. We will be carrying your speech to the group live on air. So we're fortunate enough to do that. So we look forward to hear your comments to the group. And that's why I didn't ask you about it, because we're going to carry your speech live.
Well, look, maybe we'll talk to you. We're going to be a week before the Super Bowl. We're going to have a whole booth. Maybe we'll get you to come and do a day with us.
Well, we'd be happy to do that.
All right.
Let us know.
Okay.
And if there's a nice duck hunt, I'll be happy to do that, too.
I'll do it. If I get out, I'll get to do it. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Governor.
Okay. Take care.
We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We are broadcasting live from the Metropolitan Crime Commission Excellence in Law Enforcement Annual Awards. And joining us is Colin Sims, the district attorney for both St. Tammany and Washington Parish, because you guys are a multi-jurisdictional court system, right?
Yes, sir.
Colin, so... you just got elected for your first term in office. You served as interim and
yes, sir.
Went through your first election. Tell us about how things are going.
It's been good. I mean, I think different for me than normal people running for office. I had the benefit of running, having worked there for the last 10 years and participated in hiring the prosecutors and staff. And over the years with Ms. Montgomery, we just built a great team. And you build that trust over time, so that's already pre-established. So I'm very fortunate with that. And, you know, we're here today, and two of our prosecutors are being recognized today for one of their murder cases. And so great team, great work, very blessed.
Yeah, so you have, I believe it's the Andrew Purnell case, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's Elizabeth Othamont, Tiffany Dover, Jason Garbo, and Charlie Hensley, along with LSP members, and that would be Bogalusa PD.
Bogalusa PD.
As well, I was talking to superintendent of state police, Hodges, earlier about the case and their role in it. And
so,
you know, he was really excited about the collaboration, the cooperation, making a difference, and everything else that goes along with that.
Yeah, state police, just as a whole, over the last year, state police, especially with Colonel Hodges' involvement with other agencies in the surrounding area, we've formed a really good collaborative, loose task force effort to go over a lot of these opioid overdose murders. At least we call them murders because what they are, it's poison that they're distributing. And it's really taken off. Jefferson Parish, a lot of your old guys and captains have also been very helpful in helping us establish and mirror some of what they're doing in Jefferson. It's been great. But that particular case was a really good collaboration where homicide went cold. State police came in to assist looking at communications and other casings and matching things up. It was great. It was a very tragic. I mean, young kid, 14, murdering, shooting up a bus stop, shot another kid who was a complete innocent in the back. The only reason why that kid didn't die because he had his little Chromebook and all his school books in his book bag, and the slug drops in his bag, and he would have been shot in the back too.
Wow.
He was shot in the legs, and he was crawling on the ground.
Yeah.
Very, very horrible.
Y'all have had some action in the news, been more about the budgetary process for your office. I know there was kind of a tit-for-tat going on with the parish administration, the parish president there. Where does that stand now?
Right now we've had a lot of meetings, and it seems like the council – so originally there was a parish submitted by parish government, parish president, that would have reduced our funding by 55%, which would have – imploded our organization, also would have imploded the judiciary because they were going to receive the same cut. And through a lot of meetings, we have stabilized our funding for 2025. They went and looked at surplus revenues and other pockets, delayed projects that they wanted to do to make sure that we were funded for 2025. But beyond that, we still have a problem in St. Tammany Parish. We have all these dedicated fund streams that were good decisions maybe 15, 20 years ago, but with the doubling in population over time and the increase of those funds, they can't legally do anything else with the money. And so they sit here with a lot of their tax revenue with zero flexibility. And, you know, as we're listening to some of the proposed changes statewide that may occur, if with the sales taxes, which is a lot of those dedicated funds, it'll increase those funds even more that are locked down and with zero flexibility. So that has to be addressed long term.
It's interesting. I mean, crime is number one, number two in almost every poll. I mean, that's not a good place to start from.
I've made my comments, which were very direct, which I thought that it was possibly one of the, if it's not one, it would have been the second worst decision you could have made.
You
just replace us with the judiciary. I mean,
so you're confident this is right back on track or close to being all on track? Or
I'm very confident that for 2025 only, that we will be fully funded. After that, they have to go rededicate some of the funding streams, and that there'll be a marketing push for some of that in March for St. Tammany Parish. But yeah, we've gone from we've had a serious swing. We've gone from being cut by over $2 million. The animal control would have received double the funding of the district attorney's office had this continued.
Interesting. I mean, because, you know, crime knows no geographic boundary, right? So Jefferson wants to make sure your office is fully funded. Orleans wants to make sure Jefferson is, and vice versa. St. Tammany, Jefferson, Orleans. It goes down to St. Bernard, Plaquemines, you know, as well as Tangipahoa on your side and others. I mean, in Washington Parish as well, because it's not like they're getting to the parish line and saying, no, I'm not going there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Tangipahoa is going through it right now, too. I know the sheriff's going to go for a millage right there. I mean, I've hired deputies who were sergeants in the Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff's Office. And, you know, a lot of times when you come be a DA investigator, that's a cut in pay from what a sergeant would make, and you're depending upon a retirement. They're getting an increase in pay to come work for the DA's office, no retirement, a sergeant's pay.
Right.
And that's horrible.
Yeah.
So you'll see them go for a similar measure. But you're right. We all impact each other. Orleans, Jefferson, St. Tammany touches both. It's got to be a greater New Orleans geographical effort.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, best of luck in your endeavor, and congratulations on the recognition that your folks are getting in this case. I know they're very judicious in the way that they pick these cases, you know, and they look for cases that have a broad reach and impact, and obviously they're very impressed with the work that you guys did.
Yeah, they look for those multi-agency, cases, and this was definitely one. State Police, Bogalusa PD, our office, everyone collaborated. Unbelievable work product. Very grateful.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Colin Sims, the DA for St. Tammany and Washington Parish. And we are going to visit with Lionel Myrtle now, the special agent in charge of New Orleans, the FBI field office. And Lionel, welcome to the show. I think this may be the first time that I meet you. I don't think I've met you yet.
No, we haven't met him.
Newell Norman used to be the sheriff in Jefferson Parish and now doing radio. I think you've met my successor, Joe Lapinto.
Absolutely.
And JP, and welcome to the city. How are things going?
Things are going great, and thanks for having me.
How long have you been here?
I've been here since January.
Since January, yeah. And you were here from D.C. office, is that correct?
Came in from D.C., yeah.
Was that a sigh of relief to get out of the D.C.?
I'm originally from Miami, so it's great to be back in warmer weather.
Warmer weather, absolutely. Yeah, our climate's pretty close to Miami. Maybe not as much rain, but, you know, very similar.
Absolutely.
You guys are obviously being recognized for a case as well in today in Operation Clean House Task Force. Tell us about it.
So Operation Clean House is it's an initiative that really started out of FBI headquarters by our violent crime initiative, our violent crime division. And what it is a coordinated effort based on intelligence and based on information and information from the community to really focus on the high crime areas and the most prioritized targets that are really wreaking havoc amongst the community, and coming together as law enforcement partners to really just focus on targeting those individuals for a couple weeks.
Primary mission of the FBI, it's kind of, you know, with whatever goes on nationally, Homeland Security for a while, violent crime, back and forth. Is it back to violent crime now?
So I'll say that the mission of the FBI is to protect the American people and uphold the Constitution. So it's pretty broad.
Yeah.
Not to say that we ever moved away from violent crimes. So violent crimes is one of our priorities, as well as terrorism and counterintelligence. So we can't lower one
right.
one threat and focus on another. So we have to be able to do all at the same time. And the American people expect us to be able to.
And I know
to
you guys were very proactive on these types of task forces on the violent crime side, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And we couldn't do what we do without the task forces, without the members of the local, state, and federal agencies.
When I was sheriff, the JTTF was pretty robust. Joint Terrorism Task Force served on that for a number of years. Is that still the case today?
Absolutely. It's still pretty robust. We also have a counterintelligence task force as well as the violent crime and gang task forces. So all of those task forces. I grew up in task force environments, so I understand the need and the value of having task forces. And that's really been the bread and butter.
Yeah, the JPSO for a long time was the processing agency, and I think they still are, for the HIDA, the high-intensity drug trafficking area. And I served as chairman of that a number of times, and I guess the FBI is still taking an active role in the HIDA?
Absolutely. HIDA as well as OCDEF, our Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force. So those are still very, very valuable and viable programs.
It's interesting when you have these administration changes, you know, there's a different perspective sometimes, and I guess everybody gets a little queasy.
Yeah, absolutely. As a case agent, I started my career working violent crimes and then moved to gangs and then to the Joint Terrorism Task Force. So violent crimes is near and dear to my heart in terms of, you know, what we do and why we do it.
We're visiting with Lionel Myrtle, Special Agent in Charge of the New Orleans Field Office, FBI. Human capital, employees. Almost every law enforcement agency has struggled. What's the state of the FBI?
Like anyone else, everyone is struggling to deal with limited resources. Ironically, during COVID, where a lot of people took a serious hit, our recruitment actually went up.
Really?
We had a lot of people looking to serve in the FBI, and we still do. But I know we're competing against several other talented agencies for the same group of talented individuals. So we're really more focused on just where specifically we have the highest needs. Some of our STEM areas are critical needs that we typically are looking to fill, whether it's cyber, any math, or engineering, or science backgrounds.
What do you see as the biggest challenge here in this city? You've been here about 8-9 months now.
I think first and foremost, what impacts people the most is violent crimes, because that's the most visible. So I think it's hard to be able to step away and say that we will not focus on violent crimes. So violent crimes for the New Orleans field office will always remain a priority for us. But we also have some very serious critical infrastructure here in this state. And I'm responsible for the entire state of Louisiana. So whether it's our military facilities, our offshore Gulf resources, so counterintelligence is a very serious threat as well. And then we have some very robust business partners as well as educational institutions. And we all know that there are countries out there that are looking to steal our intellectual property. So that remains a significant threat for us as well.
How long have you been in the FBI?
Going on 17 years.
When you think back to year one of that 17-year journey, it's always a little interesting how many new topics, new things that you're looking into and getting involved in. And as you talk about this, can't imagine 17 years ago you thought you would hit these touchstones, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And our director always says, you know, there's a lot of things that we add on and that we can look into and continue to do. And, you know, there's never a moment really where we can take a step back and say, hey, so what can we stop, you know, working as we continue to build and build and build on the threats that we're being faced on. So that's why it's important for us to really focus on listening to the community and listening to our partners as well.
And you guys have always had a very strong and heightened presence in public corruption cases.
Absolutely.
That's not changed. We read the paper every day, so we see.
Yeah, that hasn't changed at all, and it remains to be a priority for us nationwide and particularly here in Louisiana. We do have a commitment to ensure that those who are entrusted to serve and take an oath are doing what they need to do and, you know, being held accountable as well.
So on a personal level, how's the food?
The food is phenomenal. The
food. Have you gained any pounds?
just a few, you know, but the food has been amazing.
You hitting the gym more?
you have to hit the cardio more because it's everything is great. I haven't found a bad meal yet in Louisiana.
Well, y'all have pretty good food in Miami, too. Were you ever stationed there?
Never stationed in Miami. I was born and raised in Miami. My parents immigrated from Haiti.
From Haiti, okay.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Miami and went to school at Florida A&M in Tallahassee, Florida.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Florida guy, and then, you know, the Bureau, the FBI moves you around. So
they don't like to leave you one place too long, right?
Absolutely.
Is that still the case?
It's still the case. It's not as bad as it used to be, but I... coming out of Miami, my very first field office was St. Louis, Missouri, and then moved to New York and then D.C. from there. So kind of bounce around to generally cold areas.
Yeah. Well, you've touched all the touchstones that they want you to touch now, so you can kind of almost go anywhere, right?
Yeah.
You were in the big, what, 5-7, whatever they used to call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely. New York is our biggest field office. St. Louis is considered a small field office, and D.C. is our second.
So you served your penance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I used to enjoy having conversations with the FBI agents about the places that they've been, you know, and always trying to get back home.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, there's no bad field office in the Bureau. You know,
right.
Everywhere you go, I've had the opportunity to meet some really, really, really great people and just have some really great experiences. And the key is just embracing the city that you're in.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the guys that come here said the one thing that they always found is that we're so welcoming, you know, here. And they feel like they make friends here, where some of the other field offices, it's a little tougher.
Yeah, I think it's pretty unique, right? Just I know it's the Southern hospitality, but New Orleans is just so engaging and just so friendly and so open to all of us. And we all live here as FBI agents and professional staff and analysts, so we're all members of the community as well.
Well, it's good to finally get to meet you. I know that you will be delivering remarks today as well, right?
Yes, I am. Yeah, thank you. Great to meet you as
I'm
well.
I'm not sure that we're going to still be on air by the time you get up there. Maybe it'll be a little tight, but I've heard a lot about you, but I usually get to meet the Sacks at some point in time, so I was always looking forward to getting to meet you, and congratulations, and thank you for all that you do and for all the work that the men and women of the FBI do in our community, making it, as cliche as it sounds, a safe place to live, work, and raise a family, right?
Yeah, thank you so much, and thank you for having me, and
Alrighty.
Thank you for your service as well.
Okay, thank you. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk-In text line. We're going to be going live into the room as the festivities start here shortly, and we'll be able to hear the address by Governor Jeff Landry for certain. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.